Thank you, Joseph, for leading us in our singing and leading so many songs about the cross. You'll recognize I do not have a PowerPoint today, and I apologize about that. I'll try to get back on track with that next week or so. But before we get into our lesson today, I want to get you to add to your prayer list Melina Presley. That is George and Samantha's niece, Dottie and Nat's daughter. She will be having a major surgery on scoliosis in her back Wednesday. So remember Melina. Melina's about 12, right? Okay, and so just remember her in your prayers as you continue to pray for so many others. It's great to see you today. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand before you and talk to you about something that really goes hand in hand with what we're studying. Remember, we're studying this year the importance of the Word of God, the importance of the Word in our lives, the importance of the Word in our families' lives, the importance of the Word in our community, in our church, and so on and so forth. Well, on Wednesday night, as I was talking to you and extending the invitation to you, I told you that I'm going to start a little series of lessons on the message of the cross. If you heard what Cecil read to us earlier today, he read from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. There Paul writes that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, hopefully that's all of us, right? We all desire to be saved. But to those of us who are being saved, it is, do not miss this, the power of God. That is awesome. That is one of those verses that you need to highlight, that you need to memorize, that you need to keep near and dear to your heart. Just like Moses taught in Deuteronomy 6, we need to write that on our hands, on our doorposts, wrap it around our chest. We need to teach it to our children. We need to do all kinds of things to remember that the message of the cross, to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. When Jesus was being nailed to the cross, I said this Wednesday night, they not only stripped him naked and sold his clothes, they gambled for his clothes, I guess as souvenirs, so they could take a piece of this guy that they just murdered who claimed to be the king of the Jews. They could take a piece of history home with them. They beat him to a bloody pulp to where he was probably unrecognizable to a lot of folks that didn't know. And they're getting ready to nail him to this tree, and they thought, hey, what's one last funny thing we could do? They said, I got it. We can make a sign mocking him of this is what your crime is. Well, on that sign that they nailed to the tree, it literally said, Jesus is the King of the Jews. They were nailing him to a tree because he claimed to be the King of the Jews. And it was made in mockery, and it was made in fun, and it was made to ridicule. But make no mistake about it, that was no laughing matter. He was the King of the Jews. But he's not just the King of the Jews. He's the King of us. Whether he is the King of your life or not, he is still King. And I don't care who's on sitting behind a desk in Washington, D.C. I don't care who is over our government in this state and in this country. I don't care who you think reigns supreme. Jesus Christ is King. And the message of the cross is very clear. Make no mistake about it. He is King. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Beginning in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 is known as the resurrection chapter of the Bible. I use resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 a lot, especially the last part of that at graveside services and such. But the very beginning of this chapter, and it's a long chapter, but the very beginning of this chapter, beginning in verse 3, tells us what the message of the cross is. Beginning in verse 3, Paul writes, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Paul starts out what we call the resurrection chapter of the Bible by saying, hey, here's what I was told to deliver to you. I'm delivering you the same message as delivered to me. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. We call that the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The King of the Jews was nailed to a tree. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but He didn't stay dead. He came back. He resurrected Himself, came back alive. And because of that, we have the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that is the message of the cross. Now, 1 Corinthians 1 again, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." The message of the cross. Christ and Him crucified. Do not mistake this today. Do not miss this today. It is the power of God. Yesterday, I cut grass. Boy, that's terrible, right? March 4th. I'm already cutting grass. I have a push mower, and it does an okay job getting leaves up. But I also have a riding mower that does a much better job in getting leaves up. And in my backyard, there were a lot of leaves. So I cut the front yard with my push mower. I edged and all that. So I get to the back, and I'm thinking, you know what? This little mower is not going to get all these leaves up that's falling from these trees. So I need to go get the riding lawnmower out. And I've got to go get... I've got it in the shed, so I've got to lower all the ramps and all this stuff. And so I get in there and click, click. The doggone battery's dead. I mean, it's a pretty new riding lawnmower. So then I think, okay, I have a battery charger. And so I go and I look. And by the way, the little, if you've been to my house, there's a little shed in the back. It's, I don't know, 100-something feet from a power outlet. And so I didn't have enough extension cords. So I get Michelle, not for, she's strong, but not for strength purposes. I needed her to guide it. Bo would have just been the bulldozer. So I've got to roll the mower down now, the ramps. So Michelle guides it. We get it down. And so now we got to push it. We're kind of uphill. And bless her heart, she's trying to. I was like, just go get Bo. Bo is doing other things for me at this time, okay? So she goes and gets Bo. We get it pushed and all that. So I get the charger. I hook it up. Get it to where I can plug it in. You know, I get it just far enough that the extension, I didn't push it any further, so that the extension cord would reach. Power on, starts charging. Everything's great. Go back and look a little bit later, no power, no anything. I don't know that I'm very proud of this, but it's probably recorded on our cameras. I was so frustrated at that point that I took the charger and I slammed it on the concrete. If it wasn't going to work, I was going to make sure it didn't work. So at that point, I just pushed the lawnmower back up. Bo's taking care of the pool and stuff like that. I just pushed the lawnmower up and I move on to something else that also caused me trouble. Here's the whole point of that story. I had a lawnmower that works great getting leaves up. And it's riding, you know. It didn't have to do a whole lot of work, manual work. It does all the work for you. But it had no power. It's a long story to get to that point. It had no power. It was dead because the battery was dead. You know, in this room, there are a lot of hard workers. There are a lot of talented people. A lot of people that can do great things. A lot of people that can just turn the world upside down. But without the cross, you are nothing. I am nothing. We have no power. So if it's that easy to understand, why do we not have more people following Jesus Christ? Because there's two parts to that verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. You see, the second part of that, to those of us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. That is beautiful. That can go on websites. That can go on documents that you can print and cards and everything else. You could put it on a plaque in your home. It's a beautiful, powerful, and it should be because it's that powerful. But the first part of that says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know what that means? That means if I am lost, I don't care what you talk about with Jesus Christ. It means nothing to me. If the world is so much better, then why will those folks perish? You know why it's foolishness to some? Number one, the cross is foolishness to some because in their wisdom, they judge the Bible as an antique, mystical book. All year long so far, we've challenged you to be in the book. We've challenged you to study it more. We've spent Bible classes, we've spent sermon time, we've spent prayer time, we've spent announcement time talking about the importance of the Word of God. It is our theme this year. We want to have a relationship with God. We want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. None of that happens if we do not have a relationship with the Word. To those that are perishing, the cross is foolishness because they believe that this book is just some old antique book that means nothing. They see Scripture as irrelevant, silly, and valueless in a post-Christian era. They reject the teaching that they are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked before a holy God. Revelation 3:15-19. Here's what Jesus Christ Himself said. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. In my life, and this is just a little trivia for you, for useless knowledge, I've not thrown up very much. And I am so glad because, gross alert, when I do, I retch from my toenails all the way to the top of my head. It sounds like I am calling. Justin probably heard me throw up for the last time at football practice that day. To this day, my daughter has a phobia because she heard me too. She said if she were in here, she's in the back cooking, and so she is. She's freaking out right now. But I said, like if I say, oh, I don't feel so well, you're not going to throw up, are you? I'm like, no, Madeline, I'm not going to throw up. But anyhow, when I think of vomiting, Sorry. It's disgusting. The taste, the act. So guess what? Jesus didn't mean that to be pleasant. He said, if you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You see, the message of the cross is foolishness because they don't believe that. They believe that what Jesus said there is just old, outdated, ancient, and not important. Romans 1, 21 and 22, they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The foolishness of the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing because they believe the message of the cross is outdated. You see, that's very foolish. But another reason the message of the cross is foolishness to some, because it fails the cleverness test when compared to the philosophies of men. Colossians 2, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see, some people mock, despise, and reject the message of the cross as meaningless and unimportant. They're blinded by arrogance and lacking wisdom. They see no beauty in Christ and no value in the cross. Can you believe people would mock God? Mock the cross? There was a time when I heard something that's going to disturb you. There was an outcry in an art display one time because somebody put and made a cross. People were so thrown off by it. How can somebody do that? How can somebody take this object that represents all these things that aren't true and make art out of it? But then there was someone who took, I hate to even say this, a cross and put it in a jar of urine and put it on display. And people praised it for art. You see, people mock, despise, and reject the message of the cross. But let there be no mistake. God should never be mocked. I appreciate Melvin amening, but we all should amen that. 1 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Those who think they are smarter than God, that's where the foolishness comes in. They believe the message of the cross is foolishness because they believe they're smarter than God. Thirdly, the message of the cross is foolishness to some because wealth and status can erase the need for God and the hope of glory. People want money. Listen, I think we'd all probably take a little more of it or a lot more of it. But people think that money brings power. And what happens when people get successful financially and they receive that power and people asking them and they get the limelight and they get on the news and they get on all the talk shows and everything and people think they're the smartest people on the planet and the wisest people on the planet. Well, now they're on their own throne. And they're king of their life. King of their world. King of their destiny. You know, Solomon was there too. Solomon started out great. What do you want, Solomon? You can have anything. I'll grant you anything you want, God said. He said, I want wisdom. Okay, you got it. Wiser than any man. Because you didn't ask for money, you didn't ask for riches, hey, I'm going to give you those things too. Solomon was so wealthy that in the temple that he built for God, that his father David wanted to build, they did not have any silver. Silver had no worth because he had that much gold. There was gold on the walls. There was gold on the ornaments that were hand-carved out of olive tree and everything else. He drank out of gold goblets, not gold-colored, gold goblets. They nailed things up with gold nails. Solomon was wealthy, so wealthy that he may have even been, if you calculate it today, very close to having trillions of dollars. But then he wrote a biography about his life. And he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Another version puts it probably better, meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. He said, everything that I've acquired, everything that I've done, everything that I have gained in value, in riches, and I am a king, and I have sat on a throne. He said, it's all meaningless. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is man's all. 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Fourthly, the cross is foolishness to some because they love sin and do not want to change. The devil, unfortunately, is very good at what he does. He paints sin to be beautiful. He paints sin to seem innocent. He paints sin to be something that, hey, everybody can do it and you're going to be fine and you're going to be just the greatest and it's going to feel the greatest and it's going to be so much fun, etc., etc. If it were not so, in fact, if sin were a beautiful present and we opened it up and there was a rattlesnake, that's really what it is, but if we saw a bunch of rattlesnakes in there, we'd stay away from it. But see, he paints it to not be scary. And so we enjoy sin. And then we get into sin and we don't want to change. And so the message of the cross becomes foolishness to us because we're perishing. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone, this is verse 24, desires to come after me, this is what it's going to take. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, if I'm going to truly obey the message of the cross, then I got to give up sin. And I got to take up the cross and follow Him. Fifthly, this morning, the message of the cross is foolishness to some because they reject the idea that a loving God would crucify His own Son to appease His own wrath. You see, there are some people that say a loving God would never kill His own Son just because He's mad at everybody else. And so they said, "I don't want to hear about the cross, I don't want to hear about this, I don't want to hear about that, because I don't believe in it." People like that view the cross as a slaughterhouse religion, declaring the wisdom of God foolish. I want you to know something. They are mistaken. They do not know the love and goodness of God that we know. They do not know that God stepped out from glory, John 1, verses 1 through 4, and He did it to take their place on the cross. That's what we know, right? We know that God made man, and then He made woman, and then He made the family, and He did it all in paradise where they were to live forever. But you see, God cannot be in the presence of sin. In fact, when Isaiah saw the vision, and he was called up and he saw God and he saw the cherubim with all the wings that they had flying and shouting and chanting and everything, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That meant that God is so holy that anything that has any blemish cannot be in His presence. But God gave up His own Son. The message of the cross, so that He could take my place. Finally, this morning, the cross is foolishness to some because they just do not know the Bible. Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." You see, if a child goes and grabs a hot stove full of boiling water, or pot that's on a hot stove full of boiling water, and they accidentally spill that on them, that could be very, very detrimental to their health, to their life. So we educate them, don't we? When they go near the stove, we say, "Hot." If they go to touch the stove, we pop that little hand, or the little behind, or whatever it may be. "Hot, no." Why do we do that? Because it can kill them. And we do not want them to be harmed. We are teaching them our word. We are teaching them what's right. We're helping them gain knowledge. If we do not have the knowledge, we are inching closer and closer to that hot stove spiritually. Timothy from childhood knew the Holy Scriptures, and they were able to make him wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:15. See, Timothy knew the prophecies, he knew the promises, he knew the doctrines of Scripture. He didn't just know one or two things. He knew it all. You see, that knowledge was foundational to his faith in the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of this world. the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The story of Barabbas' pardon is a remarkable comparison to the life granted to a believer in Christ. For Barabbas, pardon meant Jesus would take his place on the cross to endure the wrath of Rome. Matthew 27:16-22. For the believer, pardon means Jesus took our place on the cross to endure the wrath of God. Romans 3:24-26. With Rome appeased, Barabbas walked free. With God appeased, we too are released to walk in newness of life. Today, tap into the power. On the cross, they wrote, "The King of the Jews." Today, on your hearts, make Him King of your life. Walk free today. Don't leave here perishing. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you need to respond for prayers, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.